This is the podcast for Strongsville United Methodist Church, Sunday, November 15th, 2015. The scripture for today is from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 1. Today's service features our youth director, Matt Wisenhunt, and special music by the 1105 band. Matt, as a parent of young children, looks at how the relationship with his own kids must change and grow just as his relationship with his own parents has changed. These changes reflect our own relationship with God as we move from the milk of a new believer to the solid food of a maturing Christian. We must constantly be learning, growing, and changing.
So I've been here now 2.5 years, and our youth director, Matt Wisenhunt, has never done a message where a topic hasn't yet been given to him, and this was a free Sunday. So buckle your seatbelts. I was really curious what he was going to choose. When I first came also, I said of Matt when I first met him to my wife in a private moment, I said, I'm so grateful there's somebody like Matt here to love these students, to learn from them, to mentor them. And then the more I've gotten to know Matt, the more I've thought, I'm not just glad there's somebody like Matt here, I'm glad Matt's here. We just welcome Matt. We love you, appreciate you. And so welcome. There we go.
You guys are too kind. Thank you. Good morning. Good
morning.
I told you in the introduction, the welcome earlier, that I was going to be back up here and you're going to hear me ramble for a while. This is me delivering on my promise. So, I apologize in advance. I'll tell a story to start off. It highlights my kids, because I love my kids and I'm obsessed with them, so any chance I get to talk about them, I'm going to take it. Today's story takes place downtown Tower City Rapid Transit Terminal. You ever been down there?
Yep.
It's like down. You got to do the stairs or the escalator. And when we take the red line to go home or to downtown, the red line connects the airport to downtown through kind of the southwestish suburbs and in the city. We love taking the boys because they love the train. So when we go down to Terminal City and we're returning home, there is clearly a platform where you stand in about a 4-foot drop to the track below. And about 18 inches back is a yellow line that kind of says, you know, don't walk past this. So we enforce with our two children, we say, boys, don't put your toes over that line, because if you do, it's dangerous. We don't want you to get hurt. And inevitably, they try to push their luck with that. And they'll take their toes and get closer and look up. See they're safe. And I'll get closer and I'll look up. And see they're safe. Until we say, boys, stop playing games. Get back. It's dangerous. See, what they don't know is that I really don't care about the line. I don't care about the line. What I care about is their safety. I want them to be safe. Why? Because I love them. I care about them. And it would devastate me and it would devastate my wife if either one of them were to get hurt, you know, at the rapid station. So I can't explain to them how much they're loved and the risks that happen with the big train coming by every 15 minutes. I can't explain that to them because their minds don't have the capacity to understand it. So, in the meantime, we're just going to enforce the yellow line rule, and we'll explain it later when they can understand it. But for now, don't go in front of the yellow line. Don't go on the street. Stay on the sidewalk. Don't run around in the parking lot. Hold on to the cart when we go grocery shopping. Don't put things in outlets at home. We've got a laundry list of things we tell them to do and not to do because they need boundaries. You understand how that works? Of course you do. Because you had them or you give them. You know, it's a boundary-filled world. At this point, our kids see us as rule givers, as boundary setters. They also see us as the people who are responsible for being their primary caregivers, their need fillers. So when they wake up in the morning, when I hear, Dad, it's 0 to 100 real quick. Real quick. And we got to move because that's going to turn into you know, pajamas being need to be changed, underwear, go to potty, got to get breakfast, got to sit them down in front of a show, got to refill their cups of water, got to find their cups of water first. Every morning, and this is going to go until their shoes are put on, until we tell them to go outside, and we have to help them get strapped in. There's a running joke between me and my wife. We're like, we seriously need to count how many times our kids demand our attention today, because collectively, between the both of us and the both of our kids, we think it is actually above 300 to 400 times a day. That's not a joke. That's a lot of needs, and it's exhausting. But right now, in our parent-to-child relationship, they see us as boundary setters, largely, and also as need fulfillers. When they need something, we fulfill it. They know they can ask. They know what the rules are. But this is not always going to be the case in our relationship. Eventually, if we do this parenting thing right, we're going to teach them to do things on their own so they don't need us to fulfill their needs all the time. They can do it themselves. And if we continue to do it right, they are going to learn how to treat other people, and they're going to learn how to treat themselves the right way without us always having to enforce rules for them to live by. And the relationship that we have now, where there are a lot of rules, where there are a lot of boundaries, and there are a lot of needs being met, the relationship that we have now with our kids, this is very foundational for them as they grow into the next stages of their life. It's important that they have this now for these rites of passage that are going to be coming up constantly. First day of kindergarten, they get onto the yellow school bus, or we drop them off, and they're going to be on their own for a little bit. They got to know how to conduct themselves. When they start trading snacks out of their lunch boxes in the cafeteria. When they have their first sleepover. When they got to start figuring out what to save and what to spend from their allowance. When they start filling out job applications for their first job. When they get their license and they want to drive to Cedar Point with their friends, and you got to have that, but it's not safe, it's 80 miles away, and they're going to go back and forth. All these rites of passage are going to be built and set on the foundation of the relationship that we have now. And if this relationship continues to move and develop through these rites of passage, our relationship with them is going to look very different years down the road. As a matter of fact, with any luck, it'll look like the relationship that I have with my own parents. You see, I don't ask my parents for permission to do things anymore, and they don't give me boundaries to live by. I ask them for advice, and they offer their opinions and thoughts. See how it works? And they don't tie my shoes, and they don't spot me a 20 for gas, but they know that, I know that if I never needed anything, they're available, and they're going to be there for me. They've established that, and they've kind of promised that. I've needed less of their control in my life, and I've just kind of wanted, over the years, more of their presence in my life. Less control and more presence. To be able to sit down at a family gathering and have a conversation about what's happening in the news and what their thoughts are about current events. That's important, getting to know them. To know what they dealt with in terms of stress at my age. I take their cues. I want to learn how they dealt with it when they were 29. I want to learn with how they dealt with turning 30. I want to learn how they dealt with turning 40 and all these different rites of passages. I want to learn from them. I want to be around them. I want to know how they dealt with losing someone that they loved and the grief process and what it looked like to come together and keep a family together. That is being in the presence of my parents. That's going from having rules given to me and all my needs met by them to just being around them and wanting to know who they are as people. And that's teaching me more now than any rules or any giving me what I need could ever teach me at this point. They have always been my parents. They're always going to be my parents. But the dynamic of the relationship I've had with them has changed significantly over the past 29 years. Carrie and I will always be the parents to our children. We always have been. But the dynamic of a relationship we have with our kids is going to change significantly over our lives. And in that changing dynamic of the relationship, our kids are going to understand who we are differently as well. They're not going to see us as the same people 20 years from now as they see us now, if everything goes according to plan. And the reason that that change happens, and the reason that we see people different like that, and the reason for that relational change is because people grow up. You grow up, you get older, and you experience life differently. We're going to read out of Hebrews now. Hebrews is a letter in the New Testament written by, I don't know who wrote it, and I don't think a lot of scholars do. I don't even think they know if it's a guy or a girl. Am I right? You guys went to seminary. I didn't, so give me the benefit of the doubt. So the writer of Hebrews, watch for the tone in the writer. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to read chapter 5, 11 through 6, 1. Watch for the tone. Watch the attitude of the writer. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. You get a sense of the attitude or the tone of the writer there. This writer is dead serious. This writer seems a little frustrated about the people he is writing to or she is writing to. The writer wants to convey something very clear. And it's funny that the image about the whole milk and the solid food and the infant, that imagery is used five other times in the New Testament by Peter, in a letter from Peter, and Paul, in a couple letters from Paul. They talk about milk, spiritual milk, and solid foods, and infant and children and elementary teachings. This is a common image used, and for good reason. Because when we're talking about growing in a relationship with God, we're talking about something that is necessary, that needs to happen. You ever make that transition from feeding a baby formula or nursing with milk, and then you move on to that powdered rice stuff that you got to mix? You mix the powdered rice with the formula or whatever. Well, when you do that, the reason that's important is, well, the thicker consistency sits in their stomach longer, and they go longer between feedings, and they sleep longer at night. And this is important because parents need to sleep, and people responsible for the children, you know, need a break as well. And it trains the child to get a different taste for this food that'll adjust their bodies a little bit. And then from that mixture, that pasty mixture, there's baby food in the jars, in the glass jars. You do the airplane thing because they see it and they recognize it. And there's taste and there's different flavors. And that develops on their palate. And there's nutrients involved with those foods and the baby food that are critical for the brain's development. And then from there, you give like the finger foods, the little puffs. You pop open a thing of puffs, pour it out, let them go to town, and they get the little finger and thumb, and they try to hand-eye coordination. And it starts with just like grabbing with the palm, and then they smush it on their face. But then they get the finger and the thumb working. And it's important for that stage of food because they work on the coordination, right? Each of these little stages of food between an infant and a toddler are critically important for this child to develop. It would be odd to see somebody very old who's still drinking milk or who's nursing or who's still taking food out of baby jars and needs an airplane flown into their mouth. We wouldn't do that. We want to see the baby grow and develop. It's critical. It's important. Brain development, learning new skills. This is what the writer is trying to convey. This is the image he or she is trying to show and compare to the spiritual development, to the relational development with God in people. Could you imagine a doctor who refuses to study any of the medical advances in their field? They would eventually plateau in knowledge. A mechanic who doesn't want to learn about the new models of cars or the technological advances of these new machines, like, no, I'm sticking with the old stuff and I'm not going to learn anymore. It's a good chance that their business would plateau or even go out of business because of these poor decisions. In any profession, it's important to keep on learning, to keep on growing, to keep on sharpening your skills as a professional. To be able to look back a few years ago and say, I have grown since this time in my field, and now I know these things. Because it's much more applicable now that I know these new things. We walk through a number of different stages of growth and learning in our relationship with God as well. We start with a basic understanding of who God is. And that's usually learning that God has a list of expectations about what he wants from his people and a list of things he probably frowns upon if you do them. Probably shouldn't lie, shouldn't steal, got to be nice to your parents. These are the things that God expects of us. These are the rules and the boundaries he sets, and we are to condition ourselves to follow early on in our relationship with him. We also find out that God is a God who hears our prayers. You talk to him, you let him know what you need or what's on your heart, and you kind of expect him to deliver. Pray to God, we get an answer from God. We have a need, God fills that need. That's important. These early stages of our spiritual growth are critical to lay a foundation in our lives because we are going to eventually face a number of spiritual rites of passage. Moments when our lives are going to be pressed and stressed and put under some pressure, you're going to hit them. Times like being bullied on the bus on the way home from school. It's not fun. Or maybe you got to move from the house you grew up in to an entire city or state different, and it's like a whole new culture. You got to reacclimate yourself with friends and people and make new relationships. That's going to stress and press your relationship with God. Or maybe your parents split up. And when your parents split up, it's going to stress and press you again, and it's going to modify who you think God is. Maybe an acquaintance or somebody you knew from your middle school or high school takes their own life, and it kind of sends these earthquake vibrations through the school, and it's hard for people to wrap their minds around. Or maybe you get to college and you take intro to philosophy and you're like, whoa, the world is not what I thought it was growing up. And all these rites of passage, there are many more, but all of them are pressures and stresses on who we are, who we thought we were, who God is, and who we thought God is. And if our relationship with God stays where it was before and through all these stresses and rites of passage, if our relationship with God doesn't mature and grow through these times, we may get to a point in life where we just think, gee, that God I always believed in is not the God I thought he would be. And he's not the God that fits my life right now. It's a lot different than I thought it would be. And that's because the God we knew as a child and the God we believed in post-confirmation classes and the God we graduated knowing when we graduated high school, if that God and that relationship doesn't change with our circumstances, that God won't be able to stick with us at 25 and the pressures of 40 and retirement. Our relationship isn't playing catch up with our life circumstances and it suffers. Maybe the God that gives out all the rules and laws, and maybe the God that is supposed to give us what we need when we need it, like, isn't the God of grown-ups. Maybe it's not the God we should be coming to know as adults. Our relationship with Him is supposed to grow through these rites of passage and correlate and mirror our growth as people. I want to be real clear that I'm not talking about developing a stronger spiritual life, because it's not about that at all right now. It's not about putting pressure on you to join a small group or to be at church more consistently or find better people who are spiritual to be around. It's not about the spiritual life. This is an invitation to something deeper, to something more meaningful, and to something more intimate with the Creator of the universe. This is an invitation to something more applicable to where you are as grown-ups and as growing-ups. You see, a spiritual life is just something that's compartmentalized, because you got a spiritual life, you got a work life, you got a friend life, you got a hobby life, and if you're growing in your spiritual life, it doesn't match everything else. What we're talking about is a relationship. A relationship that serves as a foundation, the ground level, and that it affects all those other areas of our life. The health of your family life, the health of your work life, the health of your hobby life are contingent on the health of our relationship with our Creator. And that's what this is an invitation to. A mature relationship with God does not have all the answers, and it's okay with that. A mature relationship with God lets us know that we're not the most important people in the world, and slowly shows us that the center of the universe is not us. A mature relationship with God, we find out in that we're just one mistake away from being somebody we never thought we would be. And because we know that, it makes it really hard to judge other people. So here's how I'm going to wrap this up. I'll let you know that a growing relationship with God is important, because when something like this happens in Paris a couple nights ago, the world needs less opinions about your border control theories, and they need more ways that they're going to see, like, the body of Christ respond. A growing relationship with God is important because the world needs fewer Bible verses and more people in sync with the heart of God, being the healing hands, being the strength, being the kindness and the caring type of people, and being the love of Christ in the world. You know, sometimes we get our faces so deep in the words of Scripture that we completely miss the Word of Scripture. And finally, a growing relationship is important because of these guys in the back. And you guys come on up, because I'm going to talk to you now. A growing relationship with God, something that is moving and progressing toward maturity, is important because kids are important. Because they're looking at you for your cues about who God is, about who Christ is, and their development is gonna follow ours. So we need to project a more accurate picture of who God is. Hey guys, I'm gonna sit down here with you real quick. Did you have Sunday school a few minutes ago? Yeah, was it all right? What did you guys learn about? You learned about Jacob and Esau, brothers with a grudge. Yeah, they gave their parents a hard time growing up. Well, I want to let you guys know that the things that you learn in Sunday school and the teachers you have are really important. Do you guys like your teachers? You see, the teachers answered that? That's cheating. These guys do Sunday school downstairs while we do big church up here, and they learn about Jacob and Esau and David and Goliath, and they learn about Jesus and the nativity scene and Noah's Ark, because those things are foundational for them as they grow up. And the relationships they have with their parents, right, your parents, are really important as they grow up. And our Sunday school teachers and their aunts and their uncles and their brothers and sisters, and the coloring, like the pictures they have, these are the things that are going to serve as a foundation for their spiritual growth for the rest of their lives. And you guys, we're going to do an awesome song today, one of my favorites, one of Mr. Carl's favorites all time. So when you guys hear this song, there might be like some images going by, but think about growing up, what you want to be someday, who you love. And you guys, when you hear this song, I would encourage you to take a step back and look at those critical rites of passage in your life and think about who you were coming through those and who God has been coming through those. And then think about who God is calling you to be because of who he really is. This is a great song. Contemplate those things as it goes by. It's a wonderful snapshot of the timeline of a human life, and it is one of our personal favorites. And as a reminder, I'll be back up here after the song to close with the benediction, and these guys will be here for the parents, all right?
Every day.